evening. Cameras are rolling. The microphones are on. Tonight's committee of the whole meeting is called to order. Let the record show that all the aldermen save for Mr. Piper are present tonight. And we have a full agenda this evening. We'll wait till Ray's finished with his video game, then we'll continue the business.
Hit escape.
You're welcome. Item one, folks, is to consider the consent agenda. There's only one item on the consent agenda, and that item is marked as being routine, so I'll entertain a motion from one of the committee members.
Approve the minutes.
Second.
Alderman Brown motions to approve the minutes. Alderman Marx makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3A is the presentation of the Mental Health Board annual report and the 2009-10 funding allocations. This is very exciting. Chairman of the board is stepping forward along with her special guests, the members of the board.
Good evening.
Welcome.
I'm Vicki Davidson-Bell. I'm the chair of the Geneva 708 board, and Greg Torrance is our vice chair. He's unable to be here tonight. John Ford is our secretary. Tim O'Neill is also a board member, and he's not here tonight because his son is getting honored by the school board for National Merit Award Scholarship semifinalist, so he's a proud father tonight. Yes. Our new members, Candace Goldstein, Autumn Burns, and Ralph Dantino. Our current levy for this year was $193,445. Our board expenses was $2,500. And at our last meeting, we've disbursed $139,100. Our surplus is to be added to our capital funds project. This year, we had a group home that opened on South Street. Currently, it's got two adult males living there. And in January, we hope to have three others join that household. Our long-range goals are to continue our capital funds to move forward to our next project. We'll be setting aside at least 15% to 20% of our annual levy towards that, and to continue to support services that meet the needs of the Geneva residents in the areas of mental health, developmental disability, and substance abuse treatment. Any questions?
Questions for the chairwoman?
Okay.
Alderman Singer, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know it's a long-range goal, but do you have any, what project do you have in mind that you are considering expending for?
Yeah, that is to be determined. I had anticipated that this year we would talk about what our next project would be. It may be a logical thing to work towards another group home, but we have new board members, and so we need to see what their points of view are on what we should be working towards. Mm-hmm. So I had intended that we would determine that later, start discussing it in January, February.
Well, I certainly would like to compliment you on the direction that your board has taken, and I think it's a marvelous asset to the city, to our community, for the marvelous things that you people do, and the people out there are extremely gracious for the fundings that you provide for them, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else from the dais regarding the report as presented? Alderman Piper has joined us. He timed that just when you were finished.
Uh-huh. What I'd like to do is I would like to call up our agencies that we funded and have each one introduce themselves and let you know what they do for our community. And if it's okay with you folks, I'll start off. Okay. I'd like to first call up Ecker Center for Mental Health. And they are receiving funding of $28,500. Is that Ecker Center here? No Ecker Center? Okay. Well, let's move on to Lazarus House. Lazarus House is receiving funding of $10,200.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Very grateful.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
For security reasons, we need your name. We need your home address. The last store you shopped in.
Okay. And it's good to be suspicious.
Fingerprint.
Darlene Markison from Lazarus House. We are located in St. Charles, and we serve St. Charles, Geneva, Batavia, and Western rural Kane. We are an emergency shelter. We are also a transitional living facility, and we provide rental subsidies. We currently have 47 households we're subsidizing monthly, several here in Geneva, and we'd like that to be more so. If you remember the last time we visited, I asked you to do that homework about telling others about our rental subsidies. So please don't forget. That would be very helpful. We have about $500,000 we need to give away in the next 2 years from the stimulus money, so we need help doing that. None of us know who's in trouble, so please tell people that help might be available if they're behind on their rent. If they're behind on their mortgage, we can't subsidize a mortgage, but if they're being foreclosed on, we can't pay their moving expenses. We can help them get into a rental. We can catch them up on utilities, and we can do some rental subsidy going forward. So please let people know it might be a wonderful Christmas present for them. I had a single dad call today, and he's from Schaumburg, and unfortunately, of course, we don't serve Schaumburg, but I knew who did, and I plugged him in, and he called back later to say that he thought he was going to get that subsidy. He had an eviction coming up February 1st. He doesn't think he's going to be evicted now. So the subsidy exists across the United States. I'm so happy for this funding. It will really help us. Tis the season, and unfortunately, happy holidays when you're in a homeless shelter aren't always. We've had several people relapse in the last 2 weeks. We're working very hard to make sure a bump in the road doesn't become something that's much more serious, that everybody survives something like that. And it's very difficult out there. I know you know that as well. So we're so thankful for the help that we get, and I'm so thankful for our partners here. The Ecker Center, unfortunately, not here, perhaps not yet. Maybe they'll be here in a little bit. Recently, they came down. They sent their mobile crisis worker, and they came and interviewed someone and assessed them, and we were able to get them to the care that they needed. This person has some significant issues, and he had lived with his mother his entire adult life. Mom is now in a nursing home, and so the neighbors didn't know what to do, and they went over and packed him up and delivered him to our doorstep. They didn't know what to do, and there wasn't anything else that they knew to do. We were so grateful they did that. At least we could get him into care, and with the help from our friends at the Ecker Center, that's what happened. He had some hospitalization. He's now back with us, and it's a different person. It's just amazing the difference the right care can make, and now we are looking at perhaps getting him into our transitional living facility. We're so thankful for the partnership from places like the Ecker Center, and AID is here tonight. I love that group home. Thank you for funding it. It's wonderful. Wonderful. What a gift that is, and all the good work that so many agencies do. As I'm speaking here tonight, Tri-City Family Services is at Lazarus House doing an unhappy holiday group, because we're talking about taking the un out of unhappy for some of our guests who are having a really hard time being in a homeless shelter over the holidays. And they come every week, and they do a group for us. So thank you for funding all of our partners as well, because together we can make such a difference for our community. Thank you. I promise this will go to very good use. And thank you for your continued support. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, darling.
Ecker Center. All right, $28,500. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all you do for us and our partners. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
You know, a lot of these faces are familiar to us here on the council, so if any member of the council has a question or a comment for anyone accepting the checks and or making comments, please just feel free to fire them off. So,
okay. Tri-City Health Partnership. And $1,700.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me this evening and for your continued support. I represent Tri-City Health Partnership, the only free clinic in Central Kane County. There are 1,200 free clinics in the United States. Most people don't know that, but that's not a lot when you think about what the need is today. And this community is really fortunate to have such a generous and benevolent community. And I say that, and I'm, you know, I guess we're on some camera somewhere, but I'm not actually from this community.
Cameras are off.
I won't say where.
Well, where are you from? It's okay.
Lipperville. And
never heard of it.
Yeah. But I truly have been impressed by this community, being the director for 3 years. And I'll give you just a little tiny example. I got a $500 check the other day, and as I often do, I made the phone call just to thank the person. They had given us a little bit of money in the past as well. And so my basic spiel for this particular phone call was, thank you so much. You know, I know that people like you who are benevolent, at the end of the year, you write a check out, you don't think twice, and I want you to know that we think twice about it. You're providing medications for somebody, you're taking care of someone in your own community. And this little gal hesitated, and she said, you know, actually, we save all year long so we can give that $500 check to you guys. And I was like, oh. You know, and I went back to my staff and I shared that story and I said, you know, we need to continue to remember what our mission is, because we are funded by grandma and grandpa, by the kid who gave us $40 of his allowance, by large organizations and small organizations, but we are successful because of this community. 14% of the people we're seeing right now are from Geneva. We've had 27 patients so far this year who said, indicated to us that they did have mental health issues or abuse issues, many of them from Lazarus House, many of them from, you know, various areas. What we're seeing different this year is people who perhaps made six figures 2 years ago, who haven't had a job in 2 years, have five kids, and while they may still live in a big house, they're having a tough time feeding their kids, and they don't have, you know, medical benefits any longer as well. So because of the generous support, we have continued to have care for acute and chronic illnesses. We have an asthma, diabetes, hypertension clinic, an acupuncture clinic for patients with chronic pain. In 2009, we began a dental health program. Kent County Riverboat Fund has helped us with that. And we have some incredible dentists who've jumped in on that program and are helping these patients who haven't seen a dentist in 10 years. And then we also have a dermatology clinic that we've started recently. We can only do this because we have 100 medical professionals from your community. Probably every one of you sitting here has a doctor or knows of the doctors who are volunteering for us, and that's why we're able to do what we can do. Along with all the support, and Delmar Hospital, of course, giving us, you know, privileges with labs and so on and so forth. So we appreciate every dime. I think since 2002, the Mental Health Board has provided about $14,000 for Tri-City Health Partnership. And one thing that's important is that for every dollar given to a free clinic, $5 to $8 in medical care is provided. So thanks so much, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I'm John Ford. Our next agency is the Rent Center for $5,500.
Hello, my name is Deb Howe. I'm the Director of Marketing and Development at Rent Center, and I would like to thank the Mental Health Board and the City of Geneva for these funds. They will go to subsidize substance abuse treatment services that we provide at our St. Charles office and at our Elgin office, depending on if it's regular outpatient or intensive outpatient. And without this, many might feel that they cannot come to us for help because they wouldn't be able to afford it. So we very much appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next agency is Elder Day Center, 4100.
Hi, I'm Mickey Miller from Elder Day Center in Batavia. We serve the other end of the spectrum. We serve the senior citizens of our community who have given so much to this community and now maybe need a little help themselves. Our day program cares for up to 35 seniors a day, as well as giving support to their family caregivers. We also provide a free caregiver counseling program. So far this year, we've served over 700 people in that caregiver counseling program. Since the word has gone out that it's there, our social worker can hardly stop answering the phone because there's so many people in our community caring for seniors over the age of 60, and we provide that service for free. Some of you may have seen the newspaper article in the Beacon News our seniors having a good time on the cover and on the inside pictures, but also the fact that any state support that we have, clients who are supposed to be receiving state support are there courtesy of no money. So we have not been paid in a long time by the state, and yet we continue to keep serving our seniors. It's very difficult for us to turn away anyone, and so especially our Geneva people need the services. You don't realize as you age, that's the largest population that deals with depression is the senior citizens. So we provide an outlet for them, we provide counseling for them, and for their caregivers. So you might have also seen the Governor's Conference on Aging was held last week in Chicago, and we have 174 adult day centers in the state of Illinois. In our region, we are one of four centers operating in the black, and that's courtesy of our clients and the help that your people give us. So that doesn't speak very well for what's happening to adult day centers, and I can assure you that we are much more cost effective than the seniors going to the nursing home if there's not something for them to do during the day and to ease that depression. So thank you very much for helping us stay open and helping serve the seniors of Geneva that come to us. They are the greatest generation, and we mustn't forget them.
And the Association for Individual Development, $28,800.
Thank you to everyone here. My name is Kathy Hazelwood, and I'm the VP of Marketing and Development for AID. This has truly been an incredible year. We serve people with disabilities as well as mental illness, crisis intervention, we are just thrilled to death that we were able to open a group home, and I hope that everybody got to come and see it. I see some faces that were there. And if you haven't, you can call me, and I would love to show you the house. It's beautiful. Actually, it's really, really, really nice, and our clients are very happy to be there. Our staff is thrilled to death. It's something that's going to be there for a really, really long time. I mean, forever, I'm sure. But we are just so happy that you guys put this money away and thought about the future. I know that you'll do something incredible in the future to come, and we hope to be around so that you can help with whatever that might be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Burns, City Council.
Aye, just repeat that.
I knew you would have to stop me at some point. I want to say thank you for the appointment to this board. I really appreciate your faith in that, and I'm honored to serve on it. And the agencies I have to present tonight, the first one is Easter Seals in the amount of $1,200.
My name is Mary Ellen Starcy. I'm the president and CEO of Easter Seals. We serve DuPage and all of the Fox Valley region. And I cannot say thank you enough for this wonderful gift, for the services that we provide to the children in your community. We do our occupational, physical speech therapy services, and locally we do them. The closest center is in Elgin on McLean Boulevard, near the community college, if you have an idea where that is. We serve each week at the three locations that we have in our region, 1,000 children. So, and the services I indicated are therapy, and I cannot underscore enough the support that we offer to the families, to the full family, brothers, sisters, moms, dads, the entire family. At this time of the year, it is a marvelous time of the year for remembering the importance of family, and it is a time of the year also where some of the sadder moments happen with our families, because there is a greater focus, unfortunately, on what their children aren't doing, as other typically developing children are. Our entire mission is to assist our kids to do everything, have the opportunity to do everything, and participate in everything that their peers do. Thank you for enabling our mission. Thank you very much.
Geneva School District 304 in the amount of $9,800.
This is the most nerve-wracking of times, because Chick Williams is the former dean at the high school.
How did you know him?
I only heard of him.
How well did you know the mayor?
Mr. Williams, welcome.
How much time do I have to answer that question?
4 minutes.
Thank you. I am Chick Williams, now the Prevention Intervention Coordinator for the school district, and I'm very happy to be here regardless of the abuse that I have to take from the mayor to accept this generous gift. Again tonight, the Mental Health Board as well as the City Council is demonstrating that working together we can do a lot of things, and what we focus on is preventing at-risk behavior among the youth in Geneva and to build assets by supporting organizations that's their major job, and those include Snowball, SAD, Geneva Coalition for Youth, Red Ribbon Week, everybody gets to benefit from that, and then certain activities at Geneva High School and the Geneva School District. So, as always, this is the 19th or 20th year, I'm not sure which, that we have benefited from the 708 Board and the City Council, and so we are very appreciative of that. Thank you very much.
And the last one I have is Tri-City Family Services in the amount of $27,200.
Good evening. My name is Jim Otep, and I'm Director of Tri-City Family Services here in Geneva. We were honored to be part of the team in 1988-1989. AID, Hospice, Tri-City Family Services worked with Phil Page on passing the referendum. And even more grateful to be here today, some 20 years later. Of course, much has changed in our world, in this community, in that time. I think we have about a dozen more prevention and early intervention programs than we did in 1988-89. We are providing employee assistance services throughout the community, youth crisis intervention, but counseling services continues to be our core service, representing about 50% of our overall service delivery. Of course, all of our services are available to folks on a sliding fee scale basis, thanks to the generosity of this great community, including our 708 Board. I want to thank them for their being wonderful stewards of this money. These are challenging times. I'm not about to be negative this evening, but you know it's challenging. About 4 o'clock today, I was meeting with our business manager, and she was asking me what we ought to be doing about the fact that state funds are now slipping 3 and 4 months behind. And she reminded me, did you know, Jim, that 53% of our clients now are reporting incomes under $30,000 a year? In this community, that's pretty alarming, but it speaks about what else has changed in this world of ours, in this economy of ours. It's difficult to stay discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged. It's difficult to stay discouraged. Because about 5 o'clock, I sat down with a young man just back from Afghanistan and his wife, and felt particularly grateful that I have the opportunity to work at an agency that allows me to do this kind of work at this particular time. At 6 o'clock, I finished up the session, and I put my coat on, and I know there's a lot of traffic in around the hallways of the agency, and it's our Spirit of Christmas Giving program that's going on now, when the community really comes forth and donates gifts and food for families in need. And this year, 47 families benefited from the program. It represented 80 adults and 105 children. It was pretty cool seeing the gifts coming in, and more exciting to see the gifts going out, particularly the faces of the kids and the families and moms as they walked out with Christmas stuff. And, it's difficult to stay discouraged. Sure, there are challenges ahead, but we have a great opportunity to serve this community at a very, very critical time. And honored to continue doing that, and thanks again for the 708 Board for enabling us to continue our mission in this community, and to all of you for your continuing support. And if I could just have one more request, beyond dollars. Like a lot of businesses, we're seeing a repression of our services. We hear this through intake every day, that clients are not only asking for reduced fees down to zero. More and more these days, folks are saying, after we talk with them about, please come in, we want to talk with you about making services affordable, they say, you don't understand. I can't afford anything. I can't come in for that first session. I have $5 for my pocket. I need it for gas tomorrow. Sadly, I think things have gotten to the point where folks are sacrificing critical services like mental health services. Imagine to the cost of the family and to the community of not getting those services. So if you're out and about and you hear that folks are saying things like, I can't afford even getting counseling, called Tri-City, and we're not ready to start, please encourage them to give us a call. That is what we're there for. We will make things work for them. We want to be used, particularly at this time. So thank you for that support as well. Happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you, Chuck.
I'm Candace Goldstein, and I'm one of the new members of the Mental Health Board. And I'm going to call CASA up, and they're going to receive $1,200.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And truly thank the board for your efforts and for allowing us to speak on behalf of our CASA's, our board of directors, and our staff. Our organization this year has already surpassed the children that we've served in probate and abuse and neglect court, and we're already at 540 children. And with local partners, like I see here in this room today, and what Jim Witecki had mentioned, is even though our organization and our mission is to advocate for the best interests of abused and neglected children, our mission is to make sure for those children in their best interests are their parents. Are their parents following their client service plans? Are we able to, as an organization, able to advise through our case managers and CASAs the services that all of the many partners and friends in this room allow for these children? Because again, the 16 judicial courts always have a return home goal, and that is truly always the goal. But in reality, only 30% of these children actually get to be returned home to their biological parents, which is the real tragedy. And even though less than 20% of the children that we serve actually come from the Tri-City area, I mean, I think this is an alarming number in itself, but over 118 of the volunteers that we case manage and train come from the Tri-City. So as we know, it's an organizational-wide effort to make such positive change. We also know it's a county-wide effort to increase these positive outcomes. And we know that with your support, we can continue doing this. And we have an outstanding program, and we look very forward to next year. And we've actually just hired a new director of development to help us really proceed and be more aggressive with all the state's cuts. One final thing, as many of you probably are alerted to, but CASA does not receive any state or government funding. So out of my $700,000 budget that we have to reach, we have to do that through special event fundraising, individuals, and grants. So again, thank you on behalf of the children that we serve.
Thank you.
Fox Valley Hospice, and they're receiving $6,600.
Thank you very much. I'm Kathy Malone from Fox Valley Volunteer Hospice. Thank you very much for this generous check. We have been proud to call Geneva home for the past 29 years, but as our name would indicate, we serve all of the Fox Valley from Oswego all the way down to Aurora and all sorts of areas around there. In the last year, we served almost 100 residents of Geneva, split pretty equally between our hospice services and our bereavement services. Due to the nature of what we do, we don't accept insurance payments. We're very different from a Medicare hospice in that we don't have Medicare payments coming to us. Therefore, we can accept families who may be in a different stage of illness. Their diagnosis might not be quite as serious, or they might still be a
undergoing some sort of treatment where they're still hoping to beat whatever they're fighting. So we have a lot of younger families coming to us, a lot of children going through our bereavement programs lately. So almost half of the residents of Geneva have used our hospice services, and the other half have been going through our bereavement programs. And thank you very much on behalf of all of the individuals who have used our services over the past several years, for the past 29 years. We really appreciate your funding and your support, and it's very much needed. Thank you.
And Living Well, they're receiving $900.
Hi, I'm Sue Melke. I'm the Special Events Coordinator from Living Well, and I am here on behalf of Nancy Vance, our Executive Director, who is home healing from shoulder surgery. So she left me a little note and said, can you go pick up the check? I'm like, okay. I don't know how many of you guys know, but we're kind of the new guy on the block. We've been around for 4 years and have served over 7,000 individuals in our area already. We are a cancer resource center, and we are very, very privileged to provide over 30 programs and services for all of those people that are touched by cancer in our area. And we don't just serve that individual, but we believe the whole entire family is affected, and friends, and they also are welcome, and we do it free of charge. One of our big initiatives is the psychosocial piece. If you have ever been touched by cancer in any way, shape, or form, you know that it can rock your world. And so we provide one-on-one counseling for individuals who have just been newly diagnosed. We have over 15 different support groups that help people through these very, very difficult times. We also provide a whole educational piece, which really doesn't have anything to do with 708 board, but I want to tell you about it. You know, we look at every possible challenge that a person's going to have with cancer, and we try to bring people in and educate them on how to navigate through all of those problems, whether it be insurance, whether it be side effects, you know, whether it be what to eat. We have a whole nutritional initiative that we really try to teach people how to eat cancer-fighting foods, and we give them the recipes so they know how to do it. And then we also have a mind-body fitness initiative, because we know that stress is a major part of going through this journey. And so we are very, very excited that you know, we have this opportunity to talk to you, and thank you guys for giving us that check. We also do not receive federal and state funding, and really depend on the generosity of our community. So God bless you for helping us, and you too have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I may just interject.
Please do.
I personally have had some direct benefit from the Living Well, and I think I want to personally thank your organization for what you do for all of the people who will come and attend there. So.
Mayor Burns.
Finally, Mr. Dantino.
First time I called him that. And fellow council members, Day One Network, my first recipient of $4,200.
Did you bring Christmas cards for us?
You know, I've got them back in my office, but this is our annual report.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You want me to pass those out?
I was going to say, I didn't see anybody else bring them, but I just thought maybe people would like that.
You're a trendsetter.
I'm a trendsetter, huh? I guess, you know, I keep thinking literature and that gets the message out. I'm Joyce Helander. I'm the director of Day One Network, and I want to thank the council, the mayor, and everyone for the opportunity, and of course the mental health board members. Truly, I think Geneva Board needs to be complimented for having the real social conscience that by all my peers sitting out here and all the divergent needs, that you step up to the plate to recognize that, and that's really important. And likewise, I really want to thank your group for being that, having that kind of social presence and conscience. These days it really makes a difference, as you've been hearing from a number of people. Day One Network, we've been around 20 years, beginning our 21st year, and we are the front door, as I would call it, to the service system, delivery system, for children and adults with developmental delays and or disabilities. We serve all of Kane and Kendall County and Hanover Township of Cook. It's become a large area. It seems to grow all the time. When we started, we had probably somewhere about 300 clients. Today, 20 years later, we've served nearly 3,400 this last year. So clearly, we added the program of 0 to 3 back in 87, and that has been much larger because we're dealing with a lot of little guys and infants and toddlers where there really are delays that are operative, and it's very important to get those folks started off in the best foot we can to eliminate any social costs later by a lack of intervention. All of the organizations sitting here, in one way or another, we have interfaced with, because obviously that's an incredible partnership that makes the ball roll. So, you know, that kind of networking and responsibility, because I've yet to see many families that are so, have just one issue. They come and present themselves oftentimes with multiple issues. We have two particular programs. One is working with all individuals that have a disability, which is about a 70% IQ or more, where it began before they were the age of 22 and where it's likely to continue indefinitely. And in the 0 to 3 program, that's working with all youngsters 0 to 3, where there's a 30% global delay. And those youngsters, there's a number of ways they'd be arbitrarily eligible, but clearly then the point is to get them evaluated, get them in the system, get those services authorized, help the family make the kinds of decisions to make an informed decision. And to be there to help them through the maze of all the kinds of questions and billing and who do I go to, all those kinds of things that the system is fraught with. So, and our largest program, because it's looking at delays, is the 0 to 3. Like everyone else, funding has been a unique issue this year, and I'm not sure I see a whole lot different next year. When we hear close to $12 billion deficit and watching how that whole set of circumstances and elections and all of that come to bear and how that'll play on what happens to many of the folks that certainly are the ones least able to handle any of these major decisions. So I appreciate the funding that comes from this group. I see it along with our fund development and other kinds of things and other local support, hopefully going to keep our doors open and our lights on. And I welcome you to come and see us as a Geneva neighbor. And again, thank you. And if there's any questions, just grab the information.
Fox Valley Special Recreation, $3,200.
I was very excited to come here today, and my presentation is usually about 45 minutes in length. I won't do that to you today. Yeah. Excited about that. My executive director handed me 4 sheets of paper, and luckily for everybody here, there are 48 point size font, so this will not take long. The Fox Valley Special Recreation Association we're community based, and we serve we provide therapeutic recreational services for people with and individuals with disabilities of all ages, including children and adults with cognitive, emotional, behavioral, physical challenges, and many with multiple challenges. We're an extension of the Geneva, Batavia, St. Charles, Oswego Land, Sugar Grove, forgetting somebody, and the Village of South Elgin Parks and Rec Department, and we are a facilitator of recreational services. And I was going to wax poetic about all the great things that we do. Everybody here is mentioning the tough times that come about, and I didn't get your name, I apologize.
Joyce.
Joyce just mentioned how we kind of all interact with each other, and that's very true. Beginning of the summer, AID came to us and said, because of the budget cuts, we have many individuals that are being displaced out of the workshops, and they just don't have anywhere to go during the day. So we kind of met as a staff, and my rec staff came together and said, we will provide a programming for them for 4 hours a day with transportation until this is worked out. And it was so successful that we are now, in February, starting a full-time year-round day program for a lot of those participants, as well as some growing that program into our general population, not just a collaboration with AID. So there is a little silver lining that comes out of this sometimes, so I'm thrilled about that. So on behalf of our board of directors, and Carolyn Nagel, our executive director, I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have suicide prevention services in the amount of $6,000.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Am I last, but not least? Excellent. Because I work with all these agencies, I can't say you saved the best for the last, but you can certainly draw your own conclusions. I'm Stephanie Weber. I'm the executive director and the founding director of Suicide Prevention Services, and I wanted to ask you that whenever you talk about my agency, you focus on the word prevention. Suicide Prevention Services. When you say the word suicide, as I do every single day of my life, multiple times, and I see people look downward, I sometimes will take their face and say, prevention. It is the most preventable death. My condolences to you on the loss of a high school student in your community. And I want to tell you some good things about your community that you may not know. We beat down the doors of school districts oftentimes. We want to get in before suicide, and we'll say we can educate from the top down. We can train from the top down. And I hear things like, we can't afford you. Nobody ever asks about the fees. We don't have time for this. We're very, very busy. And then all of a sudden, there's a suicide, and they want us there now. Well, Geneva has been very proactive as far as having us come in, work with the social workers, and do training. When there was a suicide in your community, within 2 hours we had a call at our agency. We need you to come. Now, several years ago, in a neighboring community, there were quite a few suicides. And the first 3 times I walked into the high school, this is an honest-to-God story, the principal approached me and said, you're going to meet with our faculty, please do not use the word suicide. I said, well, then how would I introduce myself? I'm Stephanie Weber from Prevention Services. The difference being that in this community you have reached out to us early on, even prior to this death. We are a small agency. Our mission is to open minds, save lives, and restore hope through prevention, intervention, and postvention. There are 3 of us master level clinicians, 1 bachelor level. Those are my full-time people. And I have a part-time office administrator and a part-time coordinator of volunteers who also does training. For the second time in 11 years, that's how old we are, my staff has taken a step down, a 20% cut in salary that started July 1st. And you know why? Because we're passionate about what we do, and we could not imagine that we could go forth and let somebody go. We just couldn't do it. The other plus we've done this year, if you know our building, it's right down there on Route 31 in Batavia. It's beautiful. I mean, every day I drive up and I think, this was my dream in 1983, and people walk through the doors literally without appointments to get help. If you have the opportunity to drive by on Christmas Eve, there will be luminaria lighting the walk in memory of anyone who has died, not just by suicide.
But our focus is on depression screenings. It's on walk-in services. It's on education and training. We are part of a national hotline, 24/7 hotline. Last Christmas Eve, our board president said when he and his wife were putting those luminaria along the walks, and if you remember, last Christmas Eve it was extremely windy, and the bags were catching on fire as they were setting them out. He said, I was so frustrated. He said, I looked up into the line room, and there's two workers on the phone, the lights blazing, saving a life on Christmas Eve. Our postvention services, we do run support services for survivors. What's interesting now in the high schools, we will go in and take a group of six kids and meet with them weekly for 6 weeks, if that's how long they want to meet, working with the kids in their grief. We'll do the same with adults. And I think I'm proudest of the fact that 18 months ago, I started a SOSA group, survivors of their own suicide attempts. These are the people that have the answers. This is the last bastion that we are going to get our answers from. The survivors are seeking answers. But we are working with people who every day of their lives want to die. And twice a month they come up and they meet with us as a group and they support each other. And someone said to me once, well, that's got to be kind of depressing. Do they share methods? And you know, there's times you just want to take someone and strangle them. And I said, no, they don't. They share coping skills and they share how their families don't want to talk to them and how the community shuns them. So when I left here, I was last, too, for the funding request for the Mental Health Board. And when they said $6,000, this was the most we have ever received, and I could see the compassion on everyone's face. And I left here in tears. I am grateful to the Mental Health Board, and I'm grateful to each and every one of you for allowing us to work in your community. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, is there anything else you'd like to share? Or?
No. Happy holidays, and the board intends to continue to be big stewards of the money of the city of Geneva.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the dais or any members who have been generously awarded and or for the members of the committee? Alderman Brown, Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If in this season of giving, there's people in the television audience who are moved by the work that these many agencies are done and would like to support them, there's a simple way to support all of them and a few more that treat physical problems as well as mental problems by sending a single check to the Geneva Community Chest. Geneva Community Chest, which is a board of local volunteers, will distribute their monies to these agencies and a few more agencies that do other equally deserving work. So I appreciate the work they do. I see them at the Community Chest Board meeting, and we call it the Parade of Angels, and we don't intend to insult them by saying that, but when these people get up and tell us about their programs, it's quite moving, and it was again tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Flanagan.
I'm going to dovetail on Alderman Brown's. I think you all are angels. I really appreciate everything you do for the community, and I guess Alderman Vogelsberg put it very well. She says it moved me to tears, and it does. So thank you very much for what you do and continue to do it.
I will entertain a formal motion to accept the report as presented by the Mental Health Board Chair and her associates.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by, was it Mr. Marks? Voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
We're going to move on to some additional business, and I know that because all of you have absolutely nothing to do, I'm going to entertain a recess for about 2 minutes so that we can all regroup. No objection, microphones are off.
Hi, darling.
Happy holidays.
I'm on the board of the visiting
room.
wrap it up, will you?
Turn from the 2-minute recess, which was approximately 5 minutes. You know, Alderman Brown and Flanagan said it very well. It's always a very sobering night, and I'm glad that we've actually gone to that process of hearing from these agencies that do so much. So it's very rewarding. Item 3B is consider draft resolution authorizing the purchase of materials for the River Lane Cable Replacement Project.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by March, seconded by Pollack. Questions or comments? This is like high school civics. You guys are on the back. There's the kid that got beat up in the hallway, Dick Hunt.
What happened?
Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Alderman Brown.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I believe we approved something very similar to this a couple of weeks ago. Is this just an extension of the same basic region of older cables?
Mr. Buffington, you'll have to join us at the podium because I've received texts from people saying, I want to see Buffington. Actually, courtesy of the King County Jail. It's interesting.
Yes, it is. It's the same project. I'm just finishing buying the material.
Are there likely more out there that we can do in future years if we get some good bids on various projects?
Yes.
So this is cable that all came from a certain era, I take it, and is beginning to fail?
This particular cable is failing a little sooner than we anticipated, and it's had several failures, and we're thinking it'll probably fail this summer if we don't replace it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Questions for the superintendent? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3C is to consider a request for utility fee waiver from the Cultural Arts Commission for the Snow Sculpting Exhibition, January 20th through 23rd, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
Pollack makes the motion and Hill makes the second. Questions or comments? It's a cool program.
Mm-hmm. Too cool last year.
Too cool.
Too cool.
Oh, boy.
Very cold.
It was really cold.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That's why we're doing it indoors this year, because it's going to be a lot.
Very memorable.
Whose house?
We have a motion. We have a second. We have no comments, no questions. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3D is to consider extension of management agreement with Baum Property Services Incorporated for administration of Fisher Farms SSA number 16 in the amount of $9,999.96 and contract with Mutz Landscape Incorporated for SSA number 16 landscape maintenance services in the amount of $53,000.
So moved.
$780. Motion by Singer, seconded by Flanagan, the representatives of that ward. Mm-hmm. Questions or comments for Mr. Unch?
Mr. Mayor, I have one comment, if I may.
Yes, sir.
This issue was discussed by both Alderman Flanagan and myself and Mr. Unch, and the services that were rendered to this particular SSA were extremely exceptional. Mm-hmm. And the constituents of that area were very pleased with the services that were provided by this agency and asked if they could please retain that same agency as they had previously. And we felt that it would be a successful way to go. So our hope is that you all will concur to our feelings and vote yes in favor of this product. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? I think sometimes we're under the impression that just awarding these contracts is not all that difficult of work, but Dick, you've done a marvelous job because I know it's been a challenge sometimes. So even with one arm, Dick, you've done a hell of a job back there. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3E, consider draft ordinance adopting a cable television franchise agreement. Repeat. Consider draft ordinance adopting a cable television franchise agreement. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Cheers.
I thought the mental health board presentations were emotional. This is like... with Comcast for a period of 10 years. See, we're speechless over here. Is there a motion to so entertain? Motion by Piper?
Second.
Second by Marks, both who have no cable TV in their homes. They think the Flintstones is a documentary.
Wow, you're killing tonight, okay.
We have representatives from Comcast with us tonight. Sue, if you want to write that down, go ahead.
Join all this.
Welcome. Any questions at all for our distinguished guests from Comcast, who recently purchased NBC Universal? Very exciting.
Yes.
Mr. Polak.
And perhaps this should be directed for staff as opposed to you, sir. And I'm just wondering about the term of the contract, 10 years. We don't often see contracts where they're that long.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the mayor and the council for allowing us to be here. My name is Tony Cirell. I'm government affairs manager for the Chicago West area for Comcast. And with regard to your question, for 10 years, since the passage of the State Cable Act in 2007, Comcast has transitioned to a model franchise agreement in negotiating those, and that's what you have in front of you. For the most part, we've stuck with 10 years as the term. We feel that that's a good amount of time in ensuring the protections for the municipalities we negotiate with, but also in the sense of keeping track of the technology. 15 years, 20 years, maybe too long. Less than that, you'd probably be seeing us more often than you'd want to anyway. So we figured 10 years is a good amount of time.
I would also like to add that it's taken us, what, about 8 years to negotiate this 10-year
correct
franchise agreement. So really we kind of would like to tie up a lot of this and kind of put it aside for a while.
So you don't want to see Tony anymore either?
I like Tony.
Started long before I got here.
This is off the record. Microphones are off.
And we have gone through a number of extensions, I believe.
Yeah. So, anything else, Mr. Pollack?
No, thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The thing that I get asked most by constituents is there any way that the council can encourage competition in the field of cable television? Does this 10-year contract somewhat stifle the opportunities for competition?
No, it's a non-exclusive franchise.
I was going to say exactly what Stephanie said. It's a non-exclusive franchise agreement. So if another provider wants to come in and negotiate with the city, they're able to.
In fact, another provider is currently building its system. The AT&T U-verse program is under construction in Geneva and is rolling out as quickly as they can. So in the theory of competition, that competition will be available probably in the next 6 months. So. Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they're presently effective in my community.
Are they good in the ward? Okay. So.
Thank you. That's the answer I wanted to hear.
Yeah,
of course.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. So, well, which is a good thing.
It's good for the city.
I still have Comcast.
Tony. I'm gonna pull a Richard Nixon and erase that part of the tape. It's a good thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
How long have you been on board, man?
2 years.
That's good stuff, man. You're doing a heck of a job.
Thank you.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you. Was there some arrangement or part of this contract? I haven't admittedly read every sentence, where there was going to be some assistance for the television system in the high school and whatever.
Well, actually, I'll address it, and then if Tony wants to add. There is a new provision in this, provides for a 35-cent pass-through fee that Comcast will collect and remit to the city for capital improvements directly related to our public educational governmental programming channel, which would include, we're looking at beefing up what we do with the school, maybe being able to televise some of the games. There's a connection we need to be able to do that. But it is a fee that is collected by Comcast and then directly remitted to the city. And it would run for the full 10 years of the agreement.
Fine. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Anyone else? Mr. Brown.
As a follow-up to that previous question, how will this fee appear on the bill? Will it look like a tax?
It will be a 35-cent pass-through, as Stephanie said, and it will appear on the subscribers' bills.
And what will be the words that you will people use to help try to disguise it?
I believe it would be PEG capital expenditure.
PEG capital expenditures.
Yeah, yes.
And this is actually a pass-through fee for the city's Channel 10 services.
Correct. We can only use it for capital expenses.
Correct. Yeah, and all the protections are in the franchise for your access channel on top of that as well.
I think I'm just expressing the fact that many of my constituents have trouble figuring out what all the different lines of their utility bills and their Comcast bills and all their other bills, because these people who compose these bills tend to use obscure words if they possibly can. So this will be called a PEG fee.
We can spell out PEG. It's an acronym, of course. So we'll just do as my parents do. Don't pay their bills. Camera still on, Mr. Marks?
Burns bill.
We'll put a caricature of Kevin's face.
At least I show up on time. Any other questions for Tony? We should be celebrating, shouldn't we?
I think so.
And kudos to Stephanie and to Mary McKittrick, who and Peter, the our TV operator, who's now taking the camera off of me and put it on you, probably. So
I'd like to say that working with Stephanie and Peter has been quite an experience. They've been very good to work with.
Good or bad experience?
Very good. Very good.
Experience. It's been that way for all of us.
Tony, thank you for coming. Comcast has done a nice job in the community.
Very good to hear. Thank you.
It really has.
We do have a motion. We do have a second. Any other questions or comments? A voice vote will be sufficient. We'll obviously ratify this formally at next week's council meeting. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking a Big Ten channel, too.
Yeah, if you could get rid of the Big Ten channel, because it's really a waste of time and effort.
Notre Dame as a coach, it might be a problem.
On the Comcast, we did want to take a moment to introduce Noreen. Noreen will, as I understand it, actually be the one handling our franchise items, so we welcome you as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Noreen.
And feel free to sneak out if you need to. We understand. Did you hear that noise? That was rain, I think, coming down, wasn't it?
Better go check.
Apparently hell froze over. We have an agreement. I'm kidding. Come on, relax.
It's gonna get that cold.
Wait till AT&T shows up.
And the relationship was destroyed.
Okey-dokey.
Set up and the punch.
See you in 10 years, Tony.
Motion to rescind the Comcast agreement is the next item. No. Item G, consider draft resolution. Item F, consider draft resolution adopting the amendment to the City of Geneva's Personnel Policy Manual to include, long overdue, the Martin Luther King holiday as a city holiday.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Maladra. Questions or comments? All in favor, please say Mr. Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. I was reading this, and are we adding another holiday to the city schedule, or are we going to replace this holiday and move another one, or I guess I'm not, is this additional?
This would be an additional holiday.
In light of the current budget crisis and economic times, this is something I cannot vote in favor of. This has nothing to do with Martin Luther King Jr. This is all budgetary, and this is something that I can't support. Thank you.
I just have a question. When we give a holiday like this, if there's a snow event, do we end up then paying overtime, or how does that work?
Sure it is.
Yes.
Sure.
And even in these budget times, I have a problem with, we seem to be cutting back staff and cutting corners and decreasing the budget and 20% in the fund, and then we're giving an extra day off, where especially we could have a heavy snow day at that point of the year.
Well, sure, we could have a heavy snow day in April. Let me shed some perspective on this from my own personal perspective. You know, for umpteen years, we've honored the Martin Luther King holiday by the city council having the day off. We did not meet on that Monday evening, yet our staff worked a full day. I believe that the Martin Luther King holiday should be really a day where it's not a day off of work. It should be a day of committing themselves to doing work in the community or something that they feel well-deserving. I think we sometimes miss the point that we're not taking a day off to relax and barbecue. We're taking the day off to honor somebody who made an extraordinary commitment to this community, despite people thinking otherwise, and to this entire nation. So I think the fact that the city of Geneva is way behind the curve in recognizing this important holiday, it's time we clean up our act and focus on it. So.
Mayor?
Sure.
I disagree. If given the option, I'm certain this council would have met on the Monday of Martin Luther King Day. I don't ever remember being queried as to whether or not we should or should not meet on any of those days. I agree with Alderman Marks. Thank you.
Fair enough. Anyone else? Mr. Bantino.
Do other communities around here have this already as a day off?
Yes, they do.
The county does.
Not all. It's you know, by selection, really, if you will.
Batavia does. St. Charles does not.
Yeah, Batavia does honor. St. Charles does not.
King County does. State, federal.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion. We have a second. Madam Recording Secretary, please record the vote.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Ralph Dantino?
Nay.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Nay.
Ray Pollack?
Nay.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The motion is tied, which is very exciting. I proudly, and again, way behind schedule, cast an affirmative vote to recognize the Martin Luther King holiday. I encourage all citizens, particularly this council, and those that work for this community, some 240-plus strong, that they take that day to make a difference in the community that they respect and they love. So, again, I vote aye. Item 3G is to consider draft resolution authorizing the city to execute Ride and Cane Program Agreement effective January 1, 2010 through December 31st, 2010, subject, keyword, subject to fiscal year 2010 Ought 11 budget approval.
So move.
Singer makes the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Marks. Questions or comments for Ms. McKittrick? This has been a challenging issue, as we all know.
It's a very valuable program for the people who use it, though.
No question about it.
I mean, as challenging as it is, for the people who do use it, it's extremely valuable.
There seems to be an underlying incentive here for someone to create a business that could probably operate far more
efficiently.
If I may, Mr. Brown.
Please do, Mr. Brown.
Segue on that comment is simple. There would be much less expensive ways to solve the same problem by using private businesses that already exist, like the local taxis that sit and wait at the train station every day. So this program, although needed, is a very, very expensive solution to a problem that has simpler solutions in the private sector.
Alderman Sarin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Brown, I'd like to comment on your mentioning the use of other sources of transportation, and that is exactly what does occur. The service that is provided for the constituents in our community, as well as other communities throughout Kane, is being done by private taxi cab services, and there is a sharing of costs in this regard. And each individual, of course, that uses that service is also paying for that service to be provided for that service. And it might seem rather expensive to you, but I happen to be very closely associated with this program, the Ride and Cane program. And I had served on the Transportation Committee for a goodly number of years and served on the services that existed prior to the Ride and Cane program. And I just for a commentary, I had been in the VA regional clinic here in Aurora just recently to have some contact with my physician, and sitting there as individuals were coming in and out, I noticed a number of gentlemen coming forward in the PACE vehicles and being transported to that facility. I had an opportunity to speak to those gentlemen personally and told them who I was. And I said to them, how do you like the service that's being provided for you? They said, I couldn't possibly be here without that service. I don't have any means of transportation, and I don't have anyone to be able to provide that transportation for me to get here. And they were extremely thankful for the service that was being provided. And of course, I'm rather partial by my being a veteran as well, fortunate enough where I can transport myself to and from those services that are available to all the veterans, and I'm very thankful for the program the way it exists, and I just realize that it can be an expensive program from times. It may seem that way, but I think oftentimes we have and don't seem to realize that each and every one of us here in this community is being subsidized in some way by some means of transportation. There are taxes being placed upon you each and every time you use your vehicle and fill it up with any as gasoline as well as any other kinds of extended services that are provided for you through the advent of subsidizing, as we do here in the city of Geneva. There's services being subsidized to you with the renewal and repaving of our highways, our streets, and being maintained in that manner, and those are being done through the use of your taxes and your basis that being provided for those services in that manner and form. So it isn't as if the individuals who are using this particular service are being in some way, and they should be recognized as such, and it should be provided for. And I think you understand the direction I'm coming from, but I think it's a very valuable program that we have here, and I hope we can continue on with providing these kinds of services for the needs of our community. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I appreciate your comments, Mr. Singer, but the thing that's, can you possibly explain to us why the cost per ride is so extraordinarily high in this program?
Well, it's one of the reasons, of course, is that the programs, actually the costs as such that do occur are being subsidized by both state and federal agencies. And
so they're even higher than the absurdly higher numbers we see here?
Well, I don't believe that the services that would be provided for through the use of the Ride and Cane program would be as excessive as if someone would initially ask for the services to be provided for as an individual, such as if I would call for the use of a taxi service. That cost would be by far more in excess of what it would be for the senior citizens of our community, by far more. And the problem is you have to realize that
if we subsidize the taxis, that wouldn't necessarily be true, and that might be still a lot much cheaper than this program. If we provided subsidies for the private sector to take care of these rides that are needed. I agree with you 100%. There are people that need this service. But I'm just saying that it's typical of a government, we're providing a service at a cost which seems exorbitant.
Well, it may seem that way. I don't know how I can convince you that, even though it might be exorbitant to you, that we have to realize that oftentimes the services that are being provided to our seniors are such services that they are in need of, regarding the fact that they are, some of them are disabled to the extent where they need special kinds of vehicles to provide them to their locations and to their doctor appointments or to the clinics or to their hospitals or where it may be. And there are specific kinds of vehicles that have to be used to transport these people. So there you have to realize that there's an additional value and cost involved. Possibly it might help if, Mary, if there's some way that you can inject your thoughts into this in the sense of helping have Mr. Alderman Brown understand the direction I'm moving towards.
Sure. Admittedly, this is a very expensive program. There's no doubt about that. We have been tracking, and periodically, depending on the season, we generally have 30 to 35 residents participating in this program, and to date it appears that it has cost approximately on average about $30 per trip, which is expensive. However, there is no private alternative to this service. And one of the problems is, although it's curb-to-curb service, the drivers, whether it be a taxi cab or a bus, do assist these riders to their vehicles and into and out of the vehicles. The bus transportation also provides equipment, as Alderman Singer alluded to, regarding wheelchair access, which not all vehicles have. So it is specialized in that regard. You will note that I have downsized the program as far as the city's contribution in the agreement. Rather than the current budget number this fiscal year of $60 in the agreement, I'm proposing $40,000, which I will be coming back to the council proposing that in the general fund allocation that you'll see for the 2010-11 fiscal year as well. So we are dropping, I will be proposing that we reduce our contribution, but again, at the same time, recognizing that, to my knowledge at least, and I believe Alderman Singer would agree, there is no alternative private service out there for this type of service.
I thank you for your explanation and also Alderman Singer's, and I will vote for it, but I guess I join the mayor in encouraging the program next year to be looked at very carefully and maybe encouraging some private people to think about getting into this business, because I suspect it's actually a growing need, as Alderman Singer pointed out. And continuing to support it, and as Alderman Singer pointed out, we're not the only ones. There's also state and federal funds being used here, so it just looks like this is a case where maybe private industry could do a better job than we do. And as I say, I will vote for it, but let's look very carefully next year to see if we can't encourage some way for private. There are now taxis in Chicago that have access for the disabled, etc., so maybe we can encourage somehow some of the firms in the valley to get into the business. Thank you.
Mayor. Alderman Pollack.
Thank you. Mary, has staff looked into any kind of private group that offers this kind of transportation?
No, based on PACE and the administrators of the program, they've indicated to us that they have looked into it through the RTA, through PACE, and through the Kane County, which this program is coordinated through Kane County, that there are no alternative private services out there like this.
The reason I ask is I see this, what's it called? The phone number is 377 GOES, and it's like spare wheels. Mm-hmm. And they have vans all throughout town.
The difference in this program is that it's 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm. Wow. And all, wow.
And you can't get that group to work at night that much.
Wow.
I've tried.
So.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd ask. Thanks.
Anyone else? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There is presently a consideration before the board who directs this mode of transportation to increase the individual costs to the, each of the persons that is riding and using the services. I don't know what that increase will be. We'll be attending a meeting, I believe, sometime next month, and some of these things will be clarified. So the hope is that the increase will help to offset some of the subsidies that the city's now providing for the service. So hopefully we'll see if that does materialize. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Flanagan.
I just have a question for Alderman Singer. Is that going to be for the 2010-2011 budget, do you think, that they're going to be talking about this, or would they implement a In other words, would they implement the increase this coming year in 2010? Or do you know that yet?
I don't know that yet.
Okay.
Just for clarification, PACE works on a calendar year.
Yes. Oh.
Everyone else in human civilization works on a fiscal year.
That's right.
So this is it, December. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
That's right.
Anyone else? Again, I think the operative language in this item is really subject to fiscal year 2010-11 budget approval. So I think even Alderman Singer recognizes that the program has become a little bit skewed. Not that it's not important, not that it's not needed, not that it's not necessary, but it has become quite costly quite fast. And so, and when you look at the raw numbers of rides that are being provided, I think there's certainly going to be a better job done by somebody. Perhaps it's government, perhaps not. So that statement will come back to haunt me, I'm sure. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item H, 3H, correction, 3I, consider acceptance of 2009 strategic plan.
It is H.
Thank God you're here, Gene. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry. Consider draft resolution authorizing city to execute ride and cane program PACE subsidy agreement effective January 1, 2010 through 12/31/2010, subject to 2010-11 budget approval.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Marks makes the second. Questions or comments? Fairly straightforward based on our previous discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? I almost... Item I, consider acceptance of the 2009 Strategic Plan Workshop Report.
So moved.
Vogelsberg with enthusiasm, only reserved for the second by, I think Singer actually had it first.
Yes.
And for those of you watching at home, this is a recap of our goals and objectives workshop that we host off-site back in November, where we talk about how we'd like to see the city operate, what focus we want to give to certain programs in the next fiscal year. So all this material is posted on the city's website or will be shortly after this council meeting or committee meeting. So questions or comments regarding the report as prepared by Mrs. McKittrick? Mr. Marks.
I think I made it known at that strategic planning meeting that I had a problem with how the voting happened at the end. And so for that, you know, I will be voting against this. Not the minutes, but just because of the procedures that were taken.
Anyone else? We're going to comment on that as
okay.
Well. And just for those of you watching at home, when Alderman Mark says, I think I made it apparently clear, his head was like just turned red. He actually had the fire department.
That is not an understatement.
I resemble that.
Well, it looks real legal.
And Alderman Brown?
If you wanted to say something, please go ahead.
Well, I was just to clarify that, you know, a negative vote would more or less state that the report as presented does not accurately reflect what transpired at the meeting.
Well, you know, okay.
So it's a tough call.
It is what happened at the meeting, but I would still like to see us somehow
sure.
Take a way of looking at those results again, if it means
we're going. We're going to do so. Okay. I would only suggest as chair that if you are inclined to support the report,
the report does reflect what did happen at the meeting.
Then I would offer a vote of affirmative recognition. Well, then you're certainly on the record, knowing that full well. I believe your position is that we need to
change, revote or yes, revote.
And we have a process in place to do exactly that, but obviously we can't do that tonight because it was not posted as part of tonight's council session.
How would we revote? Yeah, okay. I don't know if this is the time or place to have that discussion the minutes do reflect what was discussed.
Right. We could do so in our new business.
Against, okay, so that would come up under new business. So a vote here would just be saying, yes, that is what happened at
that's
the meeting.
That's what reflected what
you really did. But our uncomfortableness going forward could be discussed in the new business.
Absolutely, and or acted upon. It's my recommendation that we consider acting upon that or reaffirming and or perhaps changing on the 21st.
Okay. So
and there's a memo being handed out.
So it's not a discussion at this agenda, my
friend. But it can be. I'll reserve the right to give you the floor in the new business when it comes up. So, Alderman Brown?
I would like to second what Alderman Marks has been talking about. I also think the whole process was flawed, and I, at this time, would like the opportunity to change the ordering of some of these to reflect the fact that I believe the emphasis is wrong in the ordering of some of these goals. The visions can't be ordered. The visions stand separately. But below the visions are the goals and the objectives, and they can certainly be ordered in the order in which we consider each one of the individual council members considers the priority of these, and I would like an opportunity to do that, and I could suggest a couple of methods by which that might happen. We've never done that. I was there when these were first all written down. They've been massaged over the years. But the order has never really actually changed. And I don't think the order, when they were first written down, was supposed to somehow indicate priorities. And yet I believe that gets read into it by people. So we have a list of goals and objectives here that were never ordered in priority and yet are interpreted by many people as to be ordered in terms of priority. And I'd like a chance to actually take my own attempt to try to order them in the priority as I see them and somehow combine that with other people's opinions as to what the priorities might be between the various goals and objectives under the visions. As I say, I wouldn't go so far as to want to try to order the visions. I believe that doesn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, I hope we can invent a way to do that because I agree with Alderman Marks. The process we used was quite flawed. And this list as it stands today, in my mind, has never been ordered as to priority. It was just a random writing down of things that came to people's minds in the first instant. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais regarding the matter at hand?
So,
sure.
Voting affirmative then is just
accept.
What you say is saying that we agree to what happened at the meeting, not necessarily agreeing to the outcome.
Right.
Precisely.
Okay, because I do agree with Alderman Marks.
I think we're all probably in the same boat.
Okay.
Yeah. The boat's spinning in vicious, vicious circles. We're all getting nauseous. So.
Right.
All right, at the risk of rocking the boat just a little bit more, what I was saying is...
we're going to pick up on that.
What we're going to do is vote to say that this accurately represents the way that the vote's laid out. But I do not believe that the vote's tied with the tenor of the conversation that took place at that meeting.
But if you look at this document, all it says is this more or less transcribes what we all talked about in mid-November at the DuPage Airport tour. What we're going to then do is, at a later date, is discuss exactly how we can reaffirm our priorities and or change our priorities based on the firecracker Alderman and other people who... Which I think is fair, absolutely. And I think, quite frankly, those watching at home and even some of the folks who join us live can actually see us cast our ballots for what we truly feel is a priority.
Right.
And actually state in public, this is why I support A over B, this is why I think, while it's important, it's not nearly as important. And then talk about transparency and accountability. Life is good. We'll be as transparent as Casper. It's Casper the friendly ghost.
Yeah.
Anyone else from the base? Cheshire Cat, Alderman Pollack, anything?
No, thank you.
Mr. Hill.
So, thank you, Mayor. So, we're going to be doing this at a council meeting, revoting in the way that we really honestly believe.
Well, we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
We're going to bring that up in a new business. Alderman Marks will have the floor in the new business. So.
Okay. But I'm just wondering, are we going to take the time that we did in November to discuss the...
God, I hope not. We take 8 hours, we'll be sued by the FCC, we'll be taken off the air.
Doesn't have that much
December, no less.
There will be ample opportunity for all of us to do our homework prior to that meeting, and then we will cast our ballots in public that meeting. So, and obviously, we'll take as much time as we need to take. But, so, again, we're just adopting what was what transpired in November on that actually beautiful day. Which explains why Dick has the bum left arm, because we...
Flipped his car.
That's right, flipped his sports car. Anyone else?
Flip something.
On item I... Mr. Brown.
Yes, I do not agree with your description of what we're voting on tonight. The motion on the floor is to approve the document summarizing the action. I believe this document summarizes some of the wordsmithing we did, but it certainly does not summarize all the discussions we had, including discussions of priorities, etc. And unless the motioner is willing to accept a friendly motion, a friendly amendment, which suggests that the council needs to further prioritize the items listed in this workshop report, I must vote against it.
That's all right. I'm going to ask Mary to comment.
Thank you.
She's more eloquent than I am.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What my report says basically is here's the vote that was cast, and here are the recommended text amendments. And those are both listed there for you. Because these, excuse me, this action was taken on November 7th. So this serves as a record, a set of minutes, because these were actually the votes cast. There is not a record of the verbatim discussion per se. That is on a digital recording, if anyone wants to listen to that. But I just put in this memo the actual votes that were cast for the goals and objectives, as well as the text amendments. And that's what my report is asking you to do, is to accept this as a reflection of that action that was taken on November 7th.
I agree.
And if I may follow up.
Of course.
Yes, this summarizes the votes in a totally flawed process. It's the process which I cannot accept, and hence I cannot accept the outcome of that process, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 dots. Yes, you recorded the correct number of dots, but the process was flawed, and I cannot accept it as being memorialized in the minutes of this meeting without my negative vote. Thank you.
Anyone else? And the motion is item 3I. It's offered and seconded. Madam Recording Secretary.
Thank you.
Please take the vote.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes, 9 affirmative votes, 1 nay. Item 3J is consider approval of surplus property and equipment. That would be the microphones for the dais.
So moved.
Second. Alderman March makes the motion. I believe it was Alderman Singer made the second. Questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
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 If anyone opposed? Item J, correction, K, is consider change in the compensation plan to reclassify the finance director position to finance officer and approve related draft ordinance.
So move.
Second.
Singer makes the motion and Piper makes the second. Questions and comments for either Stephanie or Ms. McKittrick?
I would like to make a comment. If this changes...
Can you be recognized by the chair?
Sorry.
Hey, listen.
All
yours, Ms. Dawkins.
Yeah.
Without objection.
One of the things I didn't address in the memo is that if this change were to take effect, it's so that we can recruit for the position, but actually the change wouldn't go into place until next fiscal year, because we still have a finance director in place through the end of this fiscal year.
The position would be advertised effective January of 2010, but obviously not take effect.
May 1 of 2010. Yeah.
Not take effect till May.
Correct.
2010. Yeah. Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The biggest change to this at the end of the day is really the amount of control that you guys will have over the position. I mean, it goes from director to officer, and but we don't have to affirm this person, so...
No, well, that's the, right. Currently, it is an appointed position as a director, and typically a director is just that, a director of a department. This is actually, this position actually oversees a division. I'm the department director, so yeah.
Okay, and that's fine. Thank you.
That brings up the whole new business issue, really.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Singer.
Yes, I can't seem to find, is there any variance in the salary structure?
Yes, it would actually drop two ranges from where it currently stands. It's currently at, a step 39, and it would go to a 37 on our comp plan.
Okay.
And I wrote those numbers down, but I don't think I brought them with me. It's a fairly significant decrease.
I think the council would like to know what those numbers are, if you'd be kind enough at some time to provide those.
I didn't know if anybody had their budget book. It's online.
Yep.
Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Great, next.
And that would be based on this fiscal year, haven't done next fiscal year's.
Right.
Just go to the intranet. PDF on the intranet, yeah.
Would it be sufficient to report them before the council meeting?
Certainly. We have it right here.
We'll have it at the council meeting as well, but just for discussion tonight. The gerbils are working overtime and accessing the internet here, so
we're... Oh, here we go. Okay.
Comcast.
Currently, the finance director, the range goes from $79,000 to $111,500, roughly, and the recommendation would be from $73,000 to $103,000, would be the full range.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome.
Sorry for the delay.
We have a motion and a second on item K. Any other questions or comments? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item J, consider draft resolution authorizing the city to include taxable allowances at Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund earnings.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion. Piper makes the second. This matter was discussed a few weeks back. Some additional information is provided. Some historical perspective is provided. So I'll entertain any questions or comments from the dais.
You know, at the last meeting when we discussed this, there was the, if they used a, it was my understanding, and I just wanted to clarify it, if an employee uses a city vehicle, it's not, there's not a contribution made to the pension fund, but if they had a salary stipend for the use of their own car, that it was. Is that correct, or was I mis?
Well, there's a small taxable amount if you have a take-home vehicle.
Correct.
That is counted as income, and that is counted towards IMRF.
Okay. Right. And this, and even...
So,
even
but that affects just a few individuals. No. This one affects two individuals. The other, there are three individuals. There are actually more than that, but three that are not IMRF that have a take-home vehicle, or four that have a take-home vehicle. So they're charged like $3 per day that they use that vehicle, which comes on their W-2 and is counted as income, and they're taxed for that benefit. So that income amount does go to IMRF.
And this is also included on their W-2.
This is also included
and it's taxable
and taxed
to them.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But the way it stands now, it was being included for IMRF, but they needed a resolution from this council to continue going forward.
That's correct.
With that. So at this way, everyone will be treated equally.
Essentially.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I would, you know, I think that's all relative too, because of the various positions and the various responsibilities.
Yes.
So.
Motion and a second are on the floor. Any other questions or comments regarding item L? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed, say nay. Motion passes unanimously. New business. Anyone in the audience first? Any new business? We have one of the most respected builders and AKA semi-pro football players in the audience tonight. It's not you, Plobbert. by the way.
I broke his arm before we came in.
Is that what it was? What brings you in tonight, man?
I was, you know, here to support him with the Fisher Farms deal, but you guys, you know, breezed over and made nothing. So.
That's true. Well, then why don't you leave?
Is this a Monday Night Football? That crappy Jay Leno show that's on here.
Gee, you want to take the floor in this, or you? Wait, work for Conan O'Brien or something?
Are they all comedians like this, or what?
Tom Kessler.
Only one.
Yeah.
Only one. Yeah.
Who said it?
That was Dantino. Dantino. Ralph Dantino said it. From the dais, new business, Alderman Marks, I promise you the floor. The floor is yours.
I guess what I want to bring up now is when we met at the strategic planning meeting and at the end, we had voted as members on what we felt was the order that we should let the staff move forward on if there is extra time and budget in the next upcoming year. And there is concerns on how that voting was taking place. And I guess what I'm asking for is can we revote or figure out a simpler way to do this going forward? Because I get the feeling that as I brought that up at the meeting, when people started to realize what was happening, there was a lot more concern about it than what was originally came out when the votes were being tallied.
To your point, the memorandum that Ms. McKittrick handed out pretty much explains yeah. what we'd like to do moving forward with respect to the reaffirmation and or revoting on this process. Obviously, we can't take action tonight.
No, and I understand that, but I just want to make sure that it can be put on an agenda coming
It'll be put on
forward.
The 21st, in fact, next Monday.
Questions, Mr. Mayor?
Or we'll reserve that for a night where Jean is with us, since she made some under-her-breath comment. Mr. Hill?
But we will be able to discuss the various issues.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All of the issues that were on the walls on that Saturday.
If any council member feels compelled to do so, absolutely. I mean, Mary and Stephanie have made a pretty good, or captured, I should say, the votes recorded. And I think it's inherent upon all of us to explain the positions we took to those that we serve. And what better way to do so than in front of the Klieg lights of public access to
Well, does it make sense to have that discussion at a city council meeting or to put it back at a committee of the whole meeting?
Well, I would prefer it be done at a council meeting because then we can ratify it that night. Otherwise,
just a question, I realize.
But again, I'll defer to all of you. But we can host a special call before that meeting. It's up to you guys.
It's got to be on the agenda, though, right?
Yeah, it has to be on the agenda. It has to be an action item on the agenda. So.
And you're looking to use this plan?
Correct.
And I don't have a problem with the plan.
This plan, right?
Correct. The memorandum dated.
The memorandum was
dated. Just this memorandum?
Well, then we
get the five votes. No, but it talks about write your names on the front cover. Is this the front cover of what we're talking about?
Yeah, and this there'll be additional correspondence from Ms. McKittrick regarding this.
Kind of explain a little further. I mean,
I have a different vision, Mr. Mayor. That
sure.
We write down the priorities of the goals under each vision, our own ordering, 1, 2, 3, 4 of the priorities of the goals under each vision, and the priorities of the objectives under each goal. And that would be 1, 2, 3, whatever. And we could write down, because as I say, my problem with this is ever since it was invented, there has been no attempt to prioritize the goals within a vision and the objectives within a goal, as far as I can remember. And so this list at the moment is a random list. And it would help if we could, it would be just as easy for the various council members to sit and write 1, 2, 3 for the goals under each vision in the order in which they think have the highest priority, and under any given goal to write down 1, 2, 3 in the order in which they think the various objectives have a priority underneath that goal. I could do it after 10 minutes of thought, I think I could do it. Now, how you compile those together when there's not a consensus, I don't know. But to me, that is something we've never done with these. We've never actually prioritized them at all. As I say, I don't see any sense in prioritizing the visions. The visions are what they are. Underneath the visions, I certainly have priorities for goals, and under the goals, I have priorities for the objectives in my mind.
Alderman Malott,
which I cannot express with just five dots, unfortunately.
Sure.
I don't see any way that I can express the various the ordering of the priorities that I have in my head with a simple mechanism of five dots. It just doesn't seem to cover the thoughts I have on the various goals and objectives.
Mr. Malata, Ms. Flanagan?
I think that what Alderman Brown is recommending is actually something I do before the goal-setting session every year. You go through the plan, you look at all those things, you decide for yourself what you feel is important and what, you know, in what order. Unfortunately, we're also trying to prioritize what staff acts on in the event that they have time and in the unlikely event that we have funds available, and that requires that we prioritize across objectives and across visions. And that's what this list is. Whether I agree or not with how those items were chosen at the meeting, which I totally disagree, but however we vote, you're going to have to find a way of prioritizing across as well as within. So I think I go to the meeting knowing within each vision what my priorities are and within each objective and goal what my priorities are. But after all that discussion is when we decide if I had to pick one, what would it be? Or if I had the luxury of picking five, what would it be? So I think that for the purposes of the meeting on the 21st, if we focus on just that, if you had to pick five, that would be sufficient. And Alderman Brown, whatever your priorities are within, that's fine. They might differ from mine or Sam's, but that's okay too.
Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to make a comment. I think that when we're handed this, well, I wouldn't say voluminous, but I would say quite extensive list of goals, objectives, and visions, or visions, goals, and objectives, What I think that we do when we go into the planning session is we chunk down what we are presented, and then once we chunk it down, we have to decipher whether it's day-to-day or if it's a vision, and we have to somehow separate the day-to-day operation with the vision. I mean, we can't, if we're talking about a one-year plan and then we all of a sudden talk about a 2017 plan, how can you prioritize a 2017 plan if you haven't prioritized a 2011 plan or something? You know what I'm saying? An objective or a vision. You know, because the day-to-day is sometimes what we, or not, I shouldn't say day-to-day, but, you know, some of the objectives, some of the goals, well, maybe you can explain it to me, Mary, because you seem to be wanting to jump in, but pick five.
I've lost complete control over Mary.
Just before you jump in, Mary, Alderman Maladra says to pick five. Pick five goals or five objectives.
Five individual items that were on
the list.
So it's five things that we would do this budget year.
This budget year.
If we could.
But not the 2017 year.
Well, so if you recall, the plan says here's an objective or a goal or a vision that we have for 2017, and then here's a bunch of little steps that we can take to get us there. So what we're voting on are the little steps to get us there.
Okay. Mary, if you could.
Yeah, I would just agree and reiterate. The strategic plan for 2017 is a 10-year plan.
Right.
Recall that we approved it, City Council approved it in 07. So this is a long-range plan with many goals and objectives in there. And each year, we have to take the top few,
right,
X number.
By chunking down.
To try to attach dollar figures to those projects or programs and roll those into the budget. And although I understand what Alderman Brown is saying about prioritizing, and I think that would be informative, it really doesn't help us as staff any more than the five votes, because in the end, what it boils down to are the votes on the objectives, because those are the programs and the projects that actually end up in our budget. And prioritizing everything is very informative, but again, bottom line, we're going to look at the items that get the most votes.
Okay.
As far as staff goes, to try to utilize that information for our budget purposes. And we're waiting for, staff is waiting for this information so that we can, in earnest, start our budget process crunching numbers. So the sooner the better as far as we're concerned.
So you want us to prioritize our objective?
Well, the objectives are actually the projects and the programs. If there are goals without objectives, then I would...
There are no goals without at least one of them.
Then what I would say is what we're looking at are just the objectives. Because obviously if you vote for an objective,
right,
you're endorsing that goal and you're endorsing that vision. So bottom line, it makes more sense to take your five votes for five different objectives.
Alderman Flanagan still has the floor.
Yeah, but thank you. I think that helped clarify in my mind exactly how I was going to manage this document. So
I agree that's much simpler, and I agree we could
Alderman
do it
Brown,
instantly.
One moment. I'm sorry, sir.
I'm just agreeing we could do that instantly.
Okay. Alderman,
and return it.
Alderman Flanagan still has the floor.
Thank you. I'm done. Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just going to agree with what Dorothy and Mary said, because to me the vision statements are values, and I think it's hard to prioritize what we value, and frankly, we could all go around the room and pretty much know exactly which vision each of us puts as our priority, but you can't measure if you accomplished it. You know, we could put, you know, we honor and preserve community heritage. How do we know if we achieved that? But the goals are action steps, they're measurable, so I think it is a lot more, I like the more action-oriented, let's just decide what we're going to do, we'll know if we achieved it, and like you said, whatever you vote the most, we'll know where our vision is. So, and also, I think we've spent so much time with this, I mean, years, and also Saturday, let's just kind of fix what went awry, which is the actual voting. Let's just take a little time and each get to voice our opinion with one vote per issue and be done with it. Thank you.
Alderman Brown, Ben Hill.
I agree that if it's just a matter of putting five dots beside five objectives, which are our five highest priority objectives across all visions and goals, that's something we should do quickly and get it back to Mary as fast as possible. And I don't see why we couldn't take this home and return it to you this week. In my opinion, I shouldn't speak for the rest of the council, but I could do that this week.
No, we could do that, but of course the formal action has to be taken on the 21st, obviously. So
that would be a summary of votes that I could vote for, as opposed to the one we were presented tonight.
Okay. Alderman Hill.
Yes. Now, Mary, you just want one vote per objective, though. You don't want five dots per.
Correct.
I mean, it's three dots if you value an objective higher than the rest.
That's my correct. That
one
is my suggestion. One vote per objectives for a total of five votes, which would equal five objectives.
Okay. Better get the rules in place. The old men understand it.
And Mr. Mayor, if I might just comment on Alderman Brown's suggestion, your action in voting between now and next week would not be at a public meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's why it needs to be done. I mean, obviously, think about it, you know, consider what you want to do, but just like the strategic plan workshop, that was a posted public meeting when that voting took place. So the actual voting needs to take place at a public meeting.
I'd be quite willing to read my votes in public. I would have determined well before the meeting what they were.
Is that how we perceive that happening, I guess, for next week? I mean, what is going to be the process for next week then, I guess, are we going to read what objectives we rank or?
We certainly can. I mean, what I would entertain is is flexibility in that process. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the memorandum that Mary's put together gives us a framework, but depending on the will of the council that night, people want to, as Alderman Brown stated, actually state his vote on the objectives, no problem whatsoever. And in fact, give an impassioned speech as to why. I think that'd be actually fascinating.
How else could we do it in a public meeting?
Yeah, I'm not sure how else we would do it in a public
meeting. Well, we could otherwise, we could have the votes recorded, the clerk could then read, and or Ms. McKittrick could read. I received the following votes from Alderman Brown during the week. Here they are. Alderman Brown, are these correct? Yes, they are. Boom. Alderman Marks, this is what I received. Or we just grant the floor to each alderman and have him and her state.
Isn't just recording the vote in the minutes of the meeting sufficient?
It's sufficient unless you want to explain your vote.
During the meeting, I hand them to you, and the clerk says these will be recorded in the minutes.
It's
to actually read them out loud?
Well, put it this way. I would prefer they be read out loud simply because those watching at home won't have any idea what the hell we're doing. And we're just handing papers and saying, okay, so be it. It's recorded. It's recorded. It's recorded. And plus, let's face it, if we have certain objectives we want endorsed, supported, and funded, then I think it's incumbent upon us to express why we want that such a way.
This is a new process. Remember, the process by which we arrived at the votes which we voted upon tonight, and I voted against, there was no record of how that occurred. There was no record of which alderman voted for which one. Even though we were at a public, quote, advertised public meeting, there was no record of how that vote took place.
That's true.
There could have been vote fraud, for all we know.
But in fact, some people argue that there was
how
vote
how the
fraud.
I use 10 dots.
Yeah, we might actually ask President Carter to come in and modify and moderate this.
As a matter of fact, the point that Alderman Marks and I made was that the whole process was flawed. And there, since there's no record of it, we have no way of proving that.
But we have a record of it. We have an actual verbatim transcript. Not only do we have witnesses.
Oh,
don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we have a recorded transcript of that meeting.
We have witnesses.
But it did not include how the voting was done.
Take a shot.
Of course not, but it included the debate that ensued following that.
Look at this problem. How do you publicly record a vote?
I guess that's what I was asking, too. How are we going to go about?
That's why each and every one of you, if you so desire, will have an opportunity to speak from your post and say, here are the five objectives that I believe should prioritize, and here's why.
Good.
I think it'll be darn exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And there's value to all of us getting away from here and hashing it out in private. There's no question about it. Now, this day and age, I think people want to see us hash out in public. The 21st is going to be that beautiful day to do exactly that, if you so choose.
Merry Christmas.
Because I'm sure we have nothing else going on than to spend 6 hours duking it out with each other.
Does that mean you're not done with your shopping, Dawn?
I don't want to speak to that. Of course not.
So you're going to let us know what we need to do? Okay.
Yes,
see, Ralph. Why do you even write us memos? Really?
Any other new business?
All I want to make sure is, do we have to act on anything tonight that this will be on next week's?
There'll be formal action taken on the 21st.
Absolutely. There will be, and we don't need anything on that. We don't need to make any statements to that point. We just know that it will be.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah. Opportunity will certainly present itself.
Okay.
Should I bring my own dots?
The candy kind, please.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Piper?
We don't know if we're the right dots.
You're so negative all the time. Motion by the guy who's barely awake to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Hill. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No. Microphones are off.